Welcome to episode 13 of the Supercar Cast. In this episode, Nick buys a new car, Drew buys some scaffolding with an engine in it, and Andre gets hit. We had a lot of audio technical issues, which kind of made for a awkward but kind of fun episode. So enjoy, and thanks as always for listening. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Supercar Cast. Joining me, as always, are my fellow co-hosts, Andre, Drew, and Nick. You guys want to say hi?
Hello.
Hello there, everybody.
So we had some audio issues, but we're good. We're here. And we got a lot of updates, actually. This should be an interesting episode. Some of them happened very recently and are painful. Some of them are kind of fun. But yeah, no, we got a lot of ground to cover, and I'm not even sure where to start. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we start with Drew, because one of the last updates we heard about was working on the 930.
Drew, I know you have made some progress on the 930 and the 912 in acquiring parts. So what's going on there?
Well, where do we start? So originally, about... just kind of a synopsis of it. There's a magnesium fan on the back of Porsches, the air-cooled ones, that pull air into the engine, and that's how it cools. Well, the part where the pulley connects to the belt on there was worn down, and so it basically the pulley could spin freely behind there. It made it sound like the engine was knocking, which wasn't, which is a good thing. Sure. I sent that out to get repaired and powder coated. 6 weeks later, I got it back. Apparently, they took it to like two different welders. Nobody could weld it for some reason. They took it to a machine shop. Machine shop couldn't do it. And so they actually ended up having to drill out all the rivets on it and tapping it and doing it that route. So, looks good.
Is this just not like a common problem? Like, this doesn't happen frequently?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
And, I was wondering, like, not to my stand.
Gotcha. Do they not have like replacement parts that you could have thrown on there? It has to be repaired.
You can buy a new fan for $430.
That's a bargain.
So that's I thought about doing that actually, but
after 6 weeks.
After 6 weeks, but I still had to send it out to powder coating and everything, but it looks pretty cool. I'm happy with it. I'm not gonna complain, you know.
Sure.
So got back in the car, did oil change and air flush as well. I found two little tiny pieces from a synchro. So one of my synchros are unhappy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's my second gear synchro because I've done some stupid things with that.
Second gear? Two?
Oh.
Yeah, right.
That's party mode, though.
Exactly.
So I'm probably just gonna start a bit easier. I'm in third, fourth, or fifth. But just stupid stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, old car turned up to 11. You're gonna run into that eventually, but
yeah. So
plus, I wouldn't say, at least just knowing the history of that car, that's definitely you're not the only one to have beaten on second gear. So
absolutely not.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I think it's probably accumulation of a lot of people doing some launches.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, I just don't know. I don't have all the service records, so even though I've asked for them, I don't know if the previous owner did a gear fluid flush on there. So I did that. It seems to actually shift a lot smoother now, so I'm pretty happy about that.
That's good.
I switched from Sweepco to Motul? Is that how you say it?
Motul,
sure.
Yeah.
Motul. Switched over that. That was TurboCraft's recommendation. And yeah, it feels really good. I just don't have that like really cool colored gear fluid anymore. So
that sucks because that's something you see all the time.
All the time.
What color was the gear fluid before?
Turquoise.
Okay.
912, it's light blue.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I know. I get you. Like, you don't see it every day, but I'm like, that's kind of cool. It's blue. That's
I mean, unless
anyone, you crack it open, you're like, ooh, it's pretty.
I guess if it's leaking and you like blue spots on your driveway, I don't know.
At least you know immediately what it is.
Oh, right. True.
Yeah.
Actually, so, that would be
the HOA doesn't fine you because it's a sign of wealth. You have a Porsche that's leaking.
No, I think they fine you because of, you know, rails without motor and they're.
Well, driveway. Maybe. That's
so finished up the 930. I took it for a test drive yesterday. Those cars are notorious. Like, you have to be spot on when you do an oil change. If you go over just a little bit, you can really damage the motor. Obviously, if you don't put enough in there, you can really damage the motor. There's a little spot in between there. Mm-hmm. So, did a whole test drive, got it speed. I'm like, I'll give it the bearings a little bit. And did it. Felt great. I went, you know, just do a nice little, like, get into boost. I'm like, I don't have any boost. So, blew the charge piping coupler off there. So I just need to readjust that. And I would have done that today, but the motor was really hot. But that car is really slow without turbo.
Right. Well, I mean, then it's just a beetle.
Yeah, it's not tuned for NA. So.
Right.
So, but you were mentioning oil, good level, bad level, and that good space in between. You were at that good space in between, right? That's how that story ends. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't like we had the turbo coupling and then I found out that like I was not in the good space. I'm happy to hear you were in the good space in between. Okay.
Otherwise, the story ends in you taking a loan against your mortgage.
Pretty much. Hello, home equity line.
We need
good news. 100% it only equity. Took 10 quarts. Only took 10 quarts.
Oh, 12. Jesus.
So I was happy.
Well, because it uses the oil to cool. So it's that consider on a Porsche, that's also your coolant.
Oh,
true, I guess.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, yeah, but.
Then was it all Monday that I made the other stupid decision?
I don't stupid. Yeah, I think it could definitely
keep track of days, but yeah.
Yeah, Monday was when you acquired the other situation.
It's a good way to call it. We don't have project cars; we have situations.
That's definitely a situation.
Gonna come out with a fake can and some gold jewelry.
1979-ish Sandrail, with what looks to be a Bernie Bergerman motor in it, which is like $7,000 motor. It's a 914 2.0. It looks like it's been punched out. Has a cooling kit, carb kit, has dual Weber IDF 44s. So with all that technology, it should make at least 120 horsepower. I'm really excited.
Goddamn.
Realistically, I think it should make about 150. It felt pretty stout, but we'll find out. But bought it from a Sandrail. Bought a Sandrail that had it. I've been waiting. This guy was asking like $1,000. I've just been waiting patiently in the shadows. And I was like, hey, bud, I'll give you this cash. He's like, there's no way. I'm like, here's $500 more, dude. Like, I got a truck. I got a trailer. I'm not getting this trailer again for another 2 weeks. So if you want it, I'll come take it. If not, good luck. So, honestly, it would have been easier if he would have said no, because now I have to do things. But,
I understand that struggle, yeah.
But, so I got it. Motor's already out. Took me 58 minutes. I didn't mean to tie myself. But I looked at the clock like right as I walked outside on, I think, Thursday or Friday. And then right when I was done, I'm like, oh, I thought that took like an hour and a half, but it was legit 58 minutes and all the way out. That's so insane. Easy.
So, yeah, I don't
know if that's insane.
I've seen how it happens, but in my head after.
A beetle motor inside of like scaffolding. Like there's four bolts holding it in.
There were more.
There's 13. There's 13, right? No, but I just think of how fast I was versus how long it took me to pull like a 4Runner motor. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Right, because that's a motor out of an actual car.
14. Sure.
Not a tractor engine inside some scaffolding. Yeah.
Right. Like
we're at 19 bolts. One of those was a Allen.
And no, that's where most wires. Of that time went.
That's where all the time went. 17 like, minutes on the Allen right pedal.
And then, so my only concern is I'm a little worried the fan shroud might be too high.
Right. So wait, yeah. We completely glossed over why you bought this. Because you bought the Sandrail. It's got this really cool 914 motor that's going to make some decent power for what it is. Why did you buy this thing?
Well, it has a 911 fan on it and 911 cooling shroud. It cools the motor much better. And also motor, I think, has like 2.5 to 3 cylinders working.
And it's because you're going to put it in your 912.
That's what Oliver was getting after.
You're a good man.
Yeah. So you've been wanting more power for the 912 for quite a while. And so like rather than building something, swapping something, this was the easy answer, right? Or easy-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly easy.
So okay, now that we've established what, Andre? Sorry.
I just wanted to, in case anybody was trying to do the math or wondering, that's 3 bolts a minute for your engine removal.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty solid. Because I know that some of those definitely took 5 minutes.
That's not bad. At any rate.
And I was by myself. So like, a bolt. I had a jack under there, and I had to like balance it. And I had to like reach over like this, and like kind of scoot it back.
I should just give it every
turn into my white trash person, my neighbor.
Every 20 seconds, you just another one out. Until you're left with literally just scaffolding. Okay, so you got all this, and then you're saying the shroud's not going to fit under the bodywork of the 912, right?
It's going to be close.
So was this shroud, because you said it was like that Bergman company or whatever, was it designed for Sandrail specifically, or like why wouldn't it fit under? Because like the 912 got similar room as a Beetle.
They come with 3 different sizes, and I think this is the tallest size. Worst case scenario, I'll reach out to him because it looks like it's just spacer for the actual machined out parts that holds the fan. Yeah. So if I remove that spacer, buy a different shroud, it should fit. But I'm going to poorly put it in the car right now to get everything figured out and how I want it to be. And then if, say, everything fits in the current configuration, then I would pull it out and then, finish up some of the things on the tins and stuff, more long-term projects on that, and then have it ready for winter along with rebuilding the transaxle.
Are you going to leave the same transmission?
Can you just not drive this car in the summer at all?
So, kind of. Okay. I mean, it's really hot. Like, there's no AC in it. It's just not very enjoyable during the summer, but not much is out here. So,
can you? Well, no, I don't know. All my cars are pretty enjoyable. They all got AC and they run great. They don't overheat. It's fantastic. Is the 930 usable in summer, or is that also completely useless?
Yeah, but it doesn't have AC. It doesn't have AC. So completely useless.
Cool. Cool.
So I did drive it. I drove a 2002 through. I dailied a 2002 in the summer for like a year and a half, but that didn't really bother me.
A modern car with AC?
No, a 1970s BMW 2002.
The blue square.
Roundy.
Oh, roundy.
Yeah, but I guess still have the truck as well. It's not like these are my only options in life. Like I have the truck.
Well, yeah, but like if you want to go on for like a fun ride, it's like 120 out. That makes it.
Yeah, but your tires are melting, and I don't know. Do you really?
I actually really enjoy late night drives in the summer, like around like 11, 12.
Yeah, because that's the only time it's enjoyable to be outside.
Pretty much. But you like your freeway, nobody's out there on a Tuesday, whatever.
That's fair enough.
You're out there just banging gears with all 40 of your horsepower. that's when you feel free. For those 40 minutes or less.
40 hours, it feels like. Did Dad work truck?
Before we move to the work truck, I wonder, because I mean, this is kind of exciting. You got a motor for the swap and everything. Is that going to be like triple the horsepower?
Probably, yeah. If it's, I mean, I think legit have maybe 60 to 70 right now.
So at least double. So you're at least doubling the power. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, because the car weighs, I don't know what a 912 weighs, but it can't be much.
It's supposed to be 100 pounds. But when people weigh them, they normally, from the factory, allegedly 2,100 pounds. But when people weigh them, I guess, you know, like Russ and stuff like that, they're like 1950.
Right.
So, I don't know what happens in between there.
The rest coefficient.
I think it lighter.
Well, and also yours is missing a fair bit of paint at this point. So that's got to be at least 5 pounds.
but the amount of paint that was on there probably added.
17. Yeah, but he's compensated, so it's like back to stock. Yeah.
I'm excited. I just want to get the 9:30 chapter all done and just kind of clean up a little bit. Hit something with my battery back.
All right, cool.
The headlights at the 9:30.
Just randomly?
Oh. Yeah. I think I hit something when I put the battery back in, so I'm trying to figure it out. So I fix the charge piping, figure out the lights, and really like dirty wash it. And then then we're switching over to 912. And nice. I'll be vlog adventure, I'm sure. Technically I could get it in a day. I just might need Wes or somebody to fabricate in an engine mount to hold the engine.
Yeah, there you go. Just have them come over. As long as you have a welder, I'm sure you can get it done. You should like, and I mean, I know we have the podcast to document all this, but have you ever thought about like filming all of that?
This is pretty interesting. Aaron just bought a brand new video camera, a drone, everything. He's like, yeah, let's start. Let's try this out on the 912. I'm like, okay.
All right.
There you go.
Be interested to see how it all comes together. Yeah. It's just because it occurred to me, like, in general, I don't think a lot of people are doing 4-cylinder air-cooled content. Not just Porsche, but Bugs either. So it's very super niche. I don't know if anyone's interested, but it'd be cool to document it at least.
There's like Porsche owners out there that'd be like, yeah, dude.
They can't afford a 912.
Yeah, we can do this in the Beetle. Beetles are getting expensive now, dude. They're like 10 grand.
Everything's getting
expensive. Yeah, they are. They got real expensive real quick.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah.
Are we going to get demonetized for saying that? I don't know. I guess we'd have to be monetized.
Are we getting monetized? It's just that meme.
What?
I mean, there's no money from this. Keep talking. Cool, man. Well, those are exciting projects for sure. It's good to see some like positive updates with the motor and everything, because I know you've been looking for a while. We had the whole the Boxster argument last episode.
Oh yeah,
you want to get like a modern Boxster engine for like $2,000?
He's still not opposed to that. It sounds like
It's just I don't have enough time in my life to be trying some wildly crazy swap that will probably be wildly unsuccessful. So we're just gonna move on with enjoying that freaking car for a couple of years.
I'm for that plan.
Yeah.
Cool. So I heard you had some work truck malfunctions.
Yep. So third transmission. The transmission.
Is this the Raptor?
No, this is our 06 F-150. So we had the transmission rebuilt and December, then it broke again, then it was out for a week, and so they rebuilt it a second time, and then the day we got back, it was there for, got it a half a day, and it blew up again, and
a full half day.
Apparently it's the transmission controller, they said basically it's the DME, for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really understand how a DME could be like, hey, why don't you just grenade your transmission over and over and over again? Apparently nobody else has said this online either, so we'll figure it out.
Interesting.
Yep.
So it's just, is it currently down?
It was ready as of Friday, but we just didn't get down to it in time. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Go pick it up tomorrow. Shoot, man. Well, that's rough, but I guess that's forward life for you.
Yep. Chiba Tundra.
Maybe. I mean, they're expensive too. All Toyotas are.
But it wouldn't be breaking down. So you wouldn't be wasting them time and money to be fixing it.
That's true. Yeah,
it costs us a lot of money when it's down. So then I lose my truck because I'm like, all right, here, take this. So.
Yeah, and then your Raptor starts to get like work.
And if it's summer, then like you don't have a car because you can't drive the Porsches because you don't have AC. It's a whole problem.
You know, it is really fun though taking Porsches to quotes. You just like park around the corner so they don't see it. You just whip from like stop to stop. You're like, this is great.
I'm just, yeah. I'm picturing it's like mid-August, it's 120 degrees outside, and like you show up at this person's door just drenched, and they're like, you okay? And you're like, oh yeah, I took the Porsche here. I'm like, what, shouldn't that, aren't those nice cars? You're like, don't worry about it. Yeah. And they see this like half green nugget outside.
I got a roof rack.
with a fan shroud sticking out of where the hood should be in the rear.
I get one of those big ice coolers. They have on the Beetle.
Yep. I'm also just imagining though, by the way, like during the winter time though, like, hey, you need a pull guy to come out, just rolls in the Porsche 930, just this turbo, just like, and you're just like, pull business is good, my friend. This guy's gonna be an expensive quote. I am
like, yeah, we're gonna get a second opinion. We'll see if we can find a
definitely around the corner. Definitely around the corner.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well,
that's good.
You should, you know how some of those Beetles have those? You sent us one where they have the truck bed conversion. You should do that to a 911. You can strap down all your tools.
So we were we went with like dual cab, whatever they are, the van truck things, bus truck.
Combi.
That's the combi. Yeah.
Yeah. Aren't those like, those cost a fortune though?
Yeah, well, one of those. Better start serving. Services.
Do you want on the combi? Do you want the side flip down too for the truck bed where you get the side flip downs? Or okay, now you just made it more difficult. I'm like, I know where one is currently, but it doesn't have the side down flips.
How expensive is it?
I'll ask my cousin. It's his.
Find out if.
Sometimes he's proud of some of the stuff, so I will find out and let you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a fair bit of money, though. Those all are these days.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the Volkswagen van? That's a truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the crew cab front. It's got four doors. Actually, you don't. Most of them have three doors. Like it's two doors on one side. It's like a Veloster.
It's the original Veloster, two on one and one on the other.
Yeah, it's got two doors on one side and only one on the driver's side, and then it's got the flatbed in the back. And some of them had like these hatches, like corrugated steel that you could like slide down.
Yeah, that's what, because I've seen the, I guess not the crew cab, but like the regular where it's just like one seat.
Oh yeah,
the bed, and then the sides fold down.
Barry Jackson was this weekend. I'm sure you probably could have found a few there. There's usually a bunch of buses. So
dude, that was this weekend, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, I missed it.
Weren't you all gonna go?
Me too. Yeah, but then other things came up, so it didn't happen.
Those are super rad though. As I'm like looking through them, I'm like, yeah, I forgot how cool those are.
But like, you know, the Safari window buses and stuff like that are all going for whatever $100,000 now. I'm sure the combis are the same. This is years and years ago. I was still in high school, but I really wanted a Beetle, and I found one on Craigslist, and I went to go see it. And I mean, this thing was like laughably bad. Like it literally had no floors, but the guy had, he had a whole bunch of Volkswagens, and his daily driver was like a combi.
Oh, nice.
And it was in like perfect condition. And he was like, well, everything's for sale. You know, I was thinking about putting that up for, I think at the time he wanted like 15 grand for it. I think about that now, you know, that's, yeah, it's insane steal, but
yeah, back then you look at it, you're like, oh, 15, man, you want too much. And now you're just like, yep, that's 150,000 plus.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was insane. And it's not like I could afford it in high school anyways, but, it's just funny how things get inflated that quickly.
I don't understand. All right,
well,
who would need a Volkswagen bus
next week?
Bad enough to pay 100 grand for it.
Collectors, people who have too much money. I don't know.
It's like way the RX-7 for 60K we saw.
God. Oh my God.
That was stupid.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, compared to like a Supra, would you rather have a Supra or an RX-7?
Supra.
Supra, what the fuck? Well, who would want an RX-7 over a Supra? Stupid people.
I don't know. Not me either, but some people, they're weird.
100% of this podcast has zero interest in an RX-7 over a Supra.
And I don't even like any of them, but I would take anything over an RX-7.
It's just that motor, man. It's a good-looking car, but that rotary lets it down, so... Yeah, sorry. You're going to put up against a Supra, you're going to put up against an NSX, any of the other legends of that era.
Well, no. NSX is NSX,
I'm sure that was a good point.
That was probably a solid point.
Well put, friend. Well put.
Well put. I couldn't agree more.
The NSX is yep. No, right, as you explained the NSX.
Out of those three cars, NSX hands down best car out of those three. Supra.
Very, very good point. You know what? I agree.
Andre, I would like to second your agreement with that. Oliver, would you like to third?
Yep, the motion is passed. So Nick, do we want to talk about your update?
Yeah, we can go ahead and go with my update. Right. Yeah, sorry, that was good. We finished recording the last podcast. I said I'm not going to buy anything for a while, and I bought a car 2 days later. So you know that worked well.
Yeah. You pretty much immediately went out and bought something.
I immediately went out and bought something like 2 days later.
Right.
So went ahead and bought. We finished recording the last podcast. I started hunting back for a few of the cars that I've looked at before. And then stumbled upon a page, Japanese Classics, which I've been following for some time. They had a pal at the right price. I called him that afternoon and then went, yeah. And then I wired him a ton of money. No, and then I wired them money and then we walked through the car. So
yep,
a week
later. So to clarify, because you very briefly glazed over that there, you bought a Nissan PAL.
Yeah, so I bought a 1989 Nissan PAL mm-hmm. from Virginia, from Japanese Classics. Olive gray, and we got that shipped over from Virginia, which best shipping company. I've never worked with one, but talking with your previous experiences, me helping a shipping company drive cars onto a trailer the one time, that was a good time. That's when I was loading up one of Drew's other Porsches before.
Right.
And then, so they showed up, they called me and they went, oh, we're delivering to a residence. Do we need to come back later? Does this work? They delivered directly in front of my house. And so we went ahead and did that, delivered in front of my house. So it's funny because full semi truck, it wasn't a small truck and trailer. It was full semi truck and trailer of cars just pulled in front of the neighbor's house and just like started unloading vehicles. And then it's like all these, like, here's a big Tesla. Here's a massive like G-Wagon SUV. Here's like everything else. And there's this Nissan PAL just shoved up under the front. And it's just like every other car starts up. You can hear it back off. And then this started up and I didn't even hear it run. Like I couldn't even hear it because it was so quiet with that one cylinder that it was just like, it backed off. I could just see the exhaust shake and then like it pulled up in.
Yeah.
What, I don't know if what is the right price. I don't know if that's a thing that you say, but
yeah,
like how much do those go for?
So depending where you're getting them at, they can be anywhere between 13,000 to 15,000 right now in the current kind of thing. I was able to get it for 8,900.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
So at 8,900, it's because it was missing a few things like a factory radio. Like that's some of those things that can like drop it down. But I got one of those back in immediately. But it's so it was one of those, the miles, the condition, the interior technically had been redone to leather versus the stock, so that could have dropped it down. But those cars, if I went to kind of flip the market, it could immediately go ahead and go for more than what I paid for it. Even one in the valley apparently was on bring a trailer at the exact same time I bought mine, went for like 11 I think locally. And it was, and mine's in better condition, so it was definitely one of those things that when I saw the price I went, well, I don't think I can do bad by this. If it shows up and I hate it, I'm not gonna lose on it. So
that's true.
So went ahead, called him. It was definitely a different experience. So I called him, talked to one guy. We lost like 40 minutes of time because I found out he had a Miata. And then we started talking about ITVs. And then all of a sudden he's like, I need to sell you a car. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. So we talked about the
salespeople, or is it just like some guy? Is it just like
there's
one guy?
There's three people that work there. So you're going to get one of the three. So there's two sales guys and the main owner, Chris, who's the main owner. And so the sales guy, they'll talk you through, is it available? Is it not available? Did somebody already put a hold on it kind of thing? And then if it is, they kind of give you the rundown of the process. You can either pay a deposit to hold it, or you can pay in full as the deposit. And then the next thing you do is you set up a meeting with the owner, and he walks around the vehicle and will critically tear the car apart while you're on the phone. It was just on the phone, and then he'll send you photos of what he's doing. It is interesting because they preface the call of, we are not trying to talk you out of buying the car, but we are going to critically tear this apart as if we are buying the car, which was kind of awesome. Like everything that showed up, like I knew about, because he's like, well, this is trash. This is trash here. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're 100% correct. So like I had no worry about what was here or what was there. So made it super duper simple coming in for that. He sent me a lot of photos. I said, okay, we're good. Let's clear the paperwork. They sent some paperwork. I signed it, emailed it back. Then they put the bid out for the truck for shipping. So they do shipping a little bit differently. As an added measure, you pay your delivery upon arrival. And their response is, if they don't get paid unless you accept the car, they tend to take proper care of the vehicle.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so,
because that certainly did not happen in the case of my 2002.
Yeah. So the guy was super awesome. Dropped it off. I ended up talking to him on where to go for the next cars because he called me in the morning. He goes, like, I go to Scottsdale. Then I don't know how long it takes to get to you.
Right.
I'm like, all right, you're going to be 30 minutes. He goes, and I've got these two other places, Tolleson and Carefree. I'm like, where are you going after? He goes, California. I'm like, well, just go to Carefree, then over to Tolleson, right, and then out. And he's like, thanks. So we did that. Car showed up, signed all the paperwork, super simple. And then it was here. It was exciting. I got it on a Wednesday. So I got it early. I bought it on a Friday, technically, did the walkthrough on Saturday. Money cleared on Monday. They put the bid out to get shipped that week. Somebody picked it up on, agreed to pick it up. They picked it up on Monday and I got the car on Wednesday. So like in a week and a half, I went from talking to them on the phone to getting the car in my driveway.
Crazy.
They're really cool as well from a service perspective. If you do need to find parts for a vehicle, they'll actually help find you parts as well if you buy from them.
That's cool.
Inadvertently, I'm becoming my own parts warehouse, which I'll touch base on. But that's so it arrived, and I had my first experience of a right-hand drive car, which I soundly drove in the middle of my neighborhood street because my brain said center here, and I did, and I realized I was just driving dead middle. But
so for those who don't know, because I think a lot of people won't know what this thing is, Nissan POW was like a weird vintage looking nugget that was part of a larger lineup. So like, how did, like, because I know this has been something you've been thinking about for a long time, how did you end up on the POW? How did you get to that point? Like, why this little vintage Japanese?
Yeah, I wanted to always do like a right-hand drive car. And then a few years ago, there was actually, irony, a Petrolicious video on a POW that I remember seeing. And it was just kind of like this cool, weird, like, I've always liked Mini Coopers and like the old classic Minis. And it was just kind of hunting through those what were Japanese only vehicles to kind of fill that need that I wanted to do. And they had the Rover Minis, and then I kind of stumbled into the POW because it kind of had shared a little bit of that similar characteristics of, it looks really old, but it's 1989. I've got heat, I've got air conditioning, I've got a radiator with coolant in it. And so you go ahead and do that. And so everything kind of works there. I guess there's no cruise control, and it's really Spartan elsewhere. My cup holders are tiny little basketball nets.
Those things are cool.
But, and Andre taught me they hold a Monster Energy drink perfectly. So I subsequently, after going to Carson Coffee, picked one up and dropped it in there. So that's how I ended up on the car. I really wanted this kind of quirky thing. And what they do on Minis was they've done Honda swaps. And so I kind of, one of the future end goals of this car is to go ahead and try to throw in a K20 with ITBs in it. And go ahead and, because right now, if I would love to see in the 912 in its current form lined up against the POW.
Oh my God. Yeah.
For the world's best, slowest drag race in the world, because I've got 980 cc's, 1 liter of fury at 51 horsepower from factory in 1989. So in this instance, I'm probably going about 37. We continue to
hear me out, guys.
1600 pounds.
Ooh, we gotta do this before we do swaps.
Hear me out.
It's my not even illegal because we won't break the speed limit.
I wanna pitch an idea to you guys on how we break the internet. You've heard of Gymkhana, but let's hire my friend's film company. Drew, he filmed our old hoopties back in the day. Let's hire his film company. Let's get like, let's rent a drag strip, put a whole bunch of like lasers and neons and fire and everything. And then the 912 and the POW roll up to the line, and it'll just be like a shot of the tree and be like 3, 2, 1. And then just watch them both, because the prepped track is so sticky, they both bog and stall.
It would. It so would.
And then it's just real time footage of like someone walking along with the camera.
Riding like an electric skateboard. The Segway has to keep slowing down.
back it off. No, but seriously, can we race those? Can you guys get together and race them?
Yeah, we can make that happen. It's so funny because I've gotten it. It's all I've driven since it's arrived.
Sure.
And well, so I could then first get used to being on the right, and then gauging how many kilometers per hour I needed to be going to be with speed of traffic. Because everything's
Did you get that magnet?
I'm just going off my brain now. I know if I go 50 kilometers, I'm about 25, 26 by the radars. 86 puts me around 45. Apparently they already pulled the chime that it's supposed to beep at you at 55 miles an hour. That has already been pulled, luckily. And then on the freeway, as Oliver saw, it's just everything I've got. Everything I've got. And then when it goes downhill, I can pick up some speed and we can get to like 87 miles an hour. But then it goes uphill, and then it it I can just watch my speed on the gauge, and there's no tack either. So my favorite was like, I got a question about like, hey, like what's the RPMs of that thing when it's pinned out? I'm like, sufficient. Mm, it's running.
Yes.
So it's
Yeah, I mean, it's an auto, right? Did the manual ones come with?
Three-speed auto. Manual still didn't have attack on it.
Oh, okay. So just you never got attack.
And you got that to 87 miles per hour?
According to my attack, Oliver was behind me when I went downhill.
Yeah, I think your gauge might be a little optimistic based on that. I think the highest we got following you was 75. So
all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. But you, I mean, 75 is still impressive for that little thing on 12 inch wheels.
Yeah, my 12 inch wheels.
I got the 12 to 80, and I thoroughly thought it was going to explode.
Oh my god!
And it was downhill. Downhill for sure.
Got yep. A follow up race after you guys do a drag race on the streets. Let's go to like one of those no fly zone standing mile events. Just those two, line them up.
No, better yet is we just need Sunset Point where you have the downhill and then the immediate uphill.
Oh god.
So it's just the race of us getting the momentum downhill and then immediately just slowly trying to get to the top as we watch it all disappear.
Yeah. Before the next episode, for the listeners, we'll get that race in.
Well, stage three of it needs to be in obviously Tortilla Flats.
The twin battle.
Set times going up and down the hill.
Initial D style.
I would be terrified the amount of body roll on that thing. Because I'm also sitting on the outside, when you take a hard left and it's leaning into you as the driver, that is such a different feeling of when the body roll is rolling into you on a hard left and you're just like, okay.
You guys know the memes, like the initial D memes of like any vehicle that like drifting and the Euro beat starts playing.
Yep.
This could be a series of videos. It's just a shot of one of the corners on Tortilla Flats and you hear the Euro beat in the distance, but it takes like 3 minutes for it to get to the corner. So it's just the whole song and it actually repeats. And you kind of...
the Euro beat, but because I have the cassette, it's just like I undo the cassette, shove it in.
You have to flip it over to side two before you get to the corner. dang, man. I mean, you've been looking at these for quite a while, I feel like. Because we talked about POWs over a year ago.
Yeah, over a year ago. And it was just on or off because some of them would come in and some would make it into California under a cheaper price. But absolutely none of the onshore documentation was taken care of then.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because Japanese Classics does that for you, right?
Yeah, which is, I mean, I guess that dovetails into, yes, you get a Virginia title, it should make transfer really easy when you get to your state, unless mm-hmm. you're in Arizona, which has a system that codes all Nissan POWs as a 1986 a moment, when the car wasn't built except for 89 to 91. So we have gone to the DMV.
I guess for you to get a title, that matters.
Insurance.
Yeah.
Well, insurance matters too. That can be a problem.
So, yeah, it's like getting insured was a good time when I called Haggerty and they were like, it's a what? Hold on. pulled it
does
up.
Does that have the shaker hood or the scat pack?
is it an RS? What is this? No, well, we went ahead and yeah, it's so we'll hopefully get it titled up here soon. Luckily, I've got a 30-day plate from Virginia that I've been rocking, and then if mm-hmm. that plate expires, I have a 1986 plate from Arizona that counts for a few more days after. So the only downside is they'll call me and say it's from a restricted phone number. So I've been answering every restricted phone number on my phone because I don't know if it's the DMV. I have won so many cruises. So,
your car warranty is also up, I'm sure.
My car warranty is up. I did destroy one person that was a lender, and I'm like, we can play this game, but you're gonna lose. And it was towards the end of my day at work, and like they just started hammering questions. I started rapid firing back, and about 3 minutes in, they're like, yeah, we're just gonna notate your account not to have to call you. And I'm like, okay, thanks. So I finally won but the other ones, man, every time that restricted call comes up, I'm like, I don't want to answer it. But if that guy's fixed my plate, The one benefit of the DMV, though, is I could get a 5-year tag immediately for the car versus like third party. I could only do a year first and then I had to fund the account. So, yeah, I'm excited for the car, man. It's been fun. Got the little tailgate going on. You were able to see it, Andre. Is it acceptable for a Nissan? Does it count because it's a Pike?
I mean, it's cool. It's different.
That's a lot. Given how much you hate Nissan, I'd say that's a...
But I don't even count that as a Nissan. Like, that's not a Nissan.
It's a Nissan Micra underneath.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Micra. So the suspension, the engine, the transmission, all of that was Micra, which was their whatever, like, nuggety hatch. And then they built the POW, the Sior, and the S-Cargo on that platform. They just gave them different bodywork. Yeah.
So it's
it's a Nissan, but it's not like that's old Nissan. Old Nissan's whatever.
Hey, I'll take the win. I appreciate that. And it's a lot roomier than you expect, right? Like you sat in it.
Way roomier than you expect. Actually, it's kind of big. Like when I first saw it, because I came over after you got it, I was kind of surprised. Like in photos, you think it's like a Mini Cooper, but it's actually, I would say it's like a 1.5 scale Mini Cooper. It's like, it's a little bit bigger in all dimensions.
That's what I said I saw it. I was like, it's like a normal size car. Like it's not. Like
it's from not the pictures, like I thought it was smaller.
Yeah.
Like when you say I bought like a tiny Japanese car, you're thinking, you know, like comical clown car small.
Yeah.
But like,
right,
it's a normal car. It's just funny looking.
Normal car with a tiny engine.
Yeah, car with a tiny engine and three multiple pieces of bodywork. The front's all fiberglass like a Corvette now. And that's
true.
But hold on. The hood, the fenders are fiberglass, but the lower apron's metal.
Why?
I got nothing.
The thing most likely to be mangled by the ground. Okay.
Yeah, right? It's a... And then the rest of it's metal in some other spots. And then it's been fun getting in, hopping in it, fixing some things immediately on it. Radio wiring was messed up. I found a bunch of LEDs that had been all over that car. So that car, I think, had like LEDs behind the grill, on the bumper. I could see where they've actually put Velcro. So they had something stringing from spot to spot, I found in the back. Because of Velcro on how it was, and looking through some other photos, it's apparently like a little garland trying to do a history of like vehicles or random things pals have done in Japan. And I saw a couple garlands hung and I'm like, oh, that could explain the placement of these Velcro patches here. So it's been fun finding some of those. And then it's just been a challenge, right? So there is no parts market. So I have become my own parts market. I've been living off of Yahoo Auctions.
So like that's kind of your biggest resource is Yahoo Auctions Japan, right?
Mm-hmm. So I've done a few different services, found out the best one to use, at least for me so far, is Bai. They've been great.
Shout out Bai. Sponsor our podcast, please.
Please.
They actually do sponsor like YouTube videos and stuff. So I don't know, maybe.
Maybe we can sponsor the PAL section. But it's been good. That's how I got the radio on eBay that arrived in one day from Japan.
Crazy. Overnight parts from Japan.
Overnight parts. It still is the wildest thing. Then that I showed Andre as well. I got new old stock lenses for the inside. Those arrived overnight from Japan. Then the radio bracket, that took a lot longer to get in. Turns out, again, of the different metal pieces, like the radio bracket were like, you would think this would be lightweight plastic. It's 5 pounds of solid metal, because that makes sense. So we were able to do that. I've just been hunting Yahoo Auctions a lot. Started doing that. Started doing some Duolingo because I need to learn how to read some of the labels and stuff on my car. So it's been fun. It's going to be a good project. I'm trying to document this one a lot better than other projects. We'll see how long I can keep that up.
Yeah. So obviously this is not just like, this isn't a temporary car. You plan to keep this
summer car.
Yeah, I plan to keep
rid of it in September.
After that, he gets the 5-year tag.
After I get the 5-year tag. The AC does work on it, though. So I was able, I did do it the other day. So the AC does work on it, which was pretty good.
That's cool.
So that's a flex on the Porsche owners.
We'll see how long it holds up against Arizona summers, though, because
that's true.
The radiator is about as wide as a laptop.
It's tiny.
It's tiny. It's a tiny little thing. So now it's been fun. I'm super excited about it. Well, this car is going to be here a while. With light of that, kind of the next project, I'm trying to acquire as many parts as possible, just to keep on the shelf for like future build outs or repairs. So
right.
I may have like acquired like 7 other parts tonight. So it's a hoarding process, but.
So it begins.
Yeah.
Ceramic white pow coming at you 2022.
Ceramic white pow. I would actually irony olive gray all day long. I don't think I would ever change the color of that car. It's such a like, you can't be angry in it car. And that's actually why like I bought a couple vents because I found a couple new old stock air vents. And even though that plastic, not the top vents, those melted entirely already in Japan. But the other vents, I'm like, we'll see how you hold up in AZ summer. So when I found a new old stock, I'm like, I'll do that. Otherwise, apparently a Toyota Corolla vent fits the same hole. So
interesting.
I could translate the Toyota parts over, but it's going to be a while. So the next goal is just kind of storage parts and then working on storage at the house. So I'm going to try to get rid of a lot of the Miata stuff. Get rid of old motors, get all that cleared out, get rid of that 1.6 that I have in there. I've been holding on to it. Doesn't mean anything anymore. Let's get rid of that motor, get it out. And then I'm trying to work on, if all my math adds up correct, and it should, going to try to drop in a 4-post lift into the garage. And then I'll be able to store the PAL and the Miata on one side, get the 4Runner back inside and keep Kristen's car inside. So
yes.
Cool.
We'll see if the math adds up and when I can pull that trigger. Instead, every time I get a couple steps local to it, I see a part for a PAL that I'm like, I don't need this right now, but if I need it in 7 months, I am my only supplier.
You can get your brakes from Rock Auto.
True. So. I can get my calipers. My brake rotors from Rock Auto for $11 a rotor because they are that tiny. So
fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. But so now those are,
that's remember the big... when I ruined the $100 E46 rotor. Oh my God. I'm jealous. $11 a rotor.
Yeah. But we're going to do some later on things when I do.
Don't feel too bad.
No. So we'll do some modifications. I'm going to try to put on different brakes and rotors just to find something a little bit more easily marketable in case like Rock Auto no longer has Micra. Thing so
that makes sense. Yeah,
I'll just keep storing, putting it away. That's why if that motor ever tanks, switching over to something like a Honda makes a ton of sense because I can more readily get every part available.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a lot more fabrication. So it's fun. It made the Miata feel faster. So we did calculate it out that the total number of liters I own between vehicles is only 2.8. But if you count the whole household, I think we were 7.8.
Where does the other 5 come from?
2.5 for Kristen and 2.7 for the 3RZ.
Those are some beefy 4-cylinders.
I forgot. Yeah,
because the ND is, I thought it was a 2-liter at first too, but it's 2.5, right?
Yeah.
Sick.
But that 1-liter 4-cylinder though, with them baby pistons, because it's
also across all your cars, you have what, 16 cylinders?
I do.
Yeah, Andre, you nearly you have 14 across your 2.
I was trying to figure out the liters, but I forgot. Oh, it's
3.7.
When you use 5,
not the same. 7.4.
So same 2.4 equals your 2.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the project. It's been some good excitement come in. It does actually, I was worried at one moment, like, would it make me like not want to drive the Miata anymore? Turns out that's not the case, because I do appreciate being able to pull in front of traffic and know that I'm going to beat it, versus the pal, you're like, I need like 30 seconds to get up to speed. No, that's too close. And you go ahead. Like, I'm very lucky that where I'm at on Gilbert, it drops down to 25. At first, I hated 25. Now it's a godsend, because it's the only thing that gives me enough opportunity to go ahead and get out. You're just like...
Yeah, but when you put a K20 in that thing,
Oh my God, it's going to be terrifying.
There was a
guy in the UK that did the...
Do they make like 12 by 11 inch tires for traction?
Hoosier slicks.
We're so gonna put them on. I did find a set of 12s. I've been back and forth. The price keeps increasing. They would need to be rebuilt immediately. So I'll see if I'm gonna hold out. But SSR Mark Ones. Send it. SSR Mark Ones is gonna be, I think, the wheel choice, and then we can have them widened as such. But as we realize, with the front being fiberglass, I gotta be cognizant of I can't roll that fender.
You can cut it,
but I can always
sure, front wheel drive.
Front wheel drive, yeah.
Oh,
but do you think it was rear wheel drive?
Yeah, I don't know. Japan makes weird things.
I mean, it is a Nissan.
That's true. It's basically a 240SX.
Yeah,
that's the S12. Actually, that was an actual car. S11. Yeah, there we go.
So yeah, no, we'll widen it out. But there, I was the one guy in the UK put 220 to the wheels on his that he was building.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be the first to case swap one, right? I mean, it's already been done.
It's been done by one guy. The other two swaps that were done Honda related were B series.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would fit better, I would think.
The B series fit a lot better. For the guy that's in the K20 that I was talking to, there was one photo of an old K20. Nobody had seen whatever happened to it. The guy that was doing it recently, I was actually talking to, and he's like, I don't know if the hood's going to fit anymore.
I don't think it will, because the K has got a huge head.
Much taller, yeah.
And so that's where, like, the K20 wouldn't be the first. That's why I might look ultimately towards the B to see what you can do. But even if you get, like, even if I got the same power as my Miata in that, that would work, is the same power
in ITR
912.
What, Drew, you know better than, like, an ITR motor makes what, like, 170,
190? 195. No, let's say about 195. Yeah. So you take that, and then if you do ITBs on it, the only thing, like, what's cool about K series is that they handle boost really, 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 really well. So that's why it's become like the godsend for Hondas. Okay. Where, I mean, B series are pretty stout. I mean, you could go find a old CRX and there's a B series right there. You can even convert to all wheel drive. I think that's what, I can't think of his name right now. He's on Hoonigan, but, He's doing that to his Integra.
Integra. But he's using all CRV running gear, which...
Yeah, which is pretty rad. I really like that build. The only challenge about B-Series is that all of them, like every Civic, were camouflaged. So if you can find the right engine somewhere, I think honestly that might be easier, except the only other difficult part is the EMS part, where, you know, K-Series, you have... Honda, which just makes it so easy. And I guess technically you still have Honda. It's just like S300 instead of K Pro, which is just a OBD2 flash. It's really nice.
That said, though, we do actually have a really good Honda tuner here in Tempe. He's got a dyno shop, and like 90% of what he does is Honda tuning. So even if you go the B series route, I'm sure he could tune you no problem.
Yeah.
And it's a hub dyno. It's like instead of like a roller, it's a straight to the hub. So
nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the K is cool, but I think you might be better off with B series for your application. But
yeah, I'd rather it fit and not be like, and now I've got like the four trumpets out the front of the hood. And I mean, just
cooling shroud out the
cooling shroud out there. The radiator is non-existent anymore. So B-Series could definitely work. I think that's going to be ultimately a fun, good fabrication that comes in. Like, that's when I'll redo paint. I'll do rust repair, everything else.
Yes, true.
So the only other thing to think about is, you know, if you're running K-Series, then yeah, your trumpets, your ITBs, whatever you decide to do for your intake manifold are going to be towards the front of the car, like, you know, shooting out towards the radiator.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If you do B-Series, that's where the header comes out. So it will be right next to the radiator. But yeah, sorry. I don't know. You could always do a K-Series and then boost the hell out of it and have like the first, not even boost the hell out of it, just throw baby turbo on there. 350 horsepower.
Good God, man.
It would just be undrivable.
Like, it hits and then it goes boost and it just goes, we're going to just spin. What direction are you going? This torque steer. Yes. So that's my update. A POW. I'll have more, but all the cars are driving and the POW is a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, congrats on the new car. I don't think we kept the streak alive, but
yeah, we met the one other POW owner at Cars and Coffee.
God, yeah, we should touch on that because we went to a Cars and Coffee this weekend.
Well, hold on, what was the streak
of buying a car or buying or selling a car every single episode? I think we missed one episode, but we're still close.
Yeah, close enough.
Nick, if we haven't, Nick kept the tradition alive with the POW, came in clutch. Yeah.
Technically, I bought a Sandrail as well.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's true. So just we had all our bases covered. Anyway, we should touch on that, Nick, before we close out, because we went to a Cars and Coffee, and you're like, I'm showing up with this POW, like these super rare, there aren't many of them around, much less in Arizona. And you and I, because I followed you, we pulled out, because we got there kind of late, and we pulled off to like a little side. And as we're parking, I hear like, meep, 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 meep. I'm like, why is Nick honking at me? And I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a second POW pulling up. And I was like, oh my God, what are the odds? And it turns out like next to none, since there's only like three of them in the valley.
Yeah. And so he just showed up. Yeah, he had a black one that was a convertible that had a bunch of different stuff on it. And
yeah,
he just popped out with his gold chain on. The what?
The convertible part. Cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah, he just popped out with his gold chain, and all of a sudden he's like, another POW. And then like he just like, and because there's such a small group of them, like I think the POW group, it did force me to go back to Facebook so I could join this group. And there's like 1,200 like worldwide in this group, and it's the only group that everybody's just exorbitantly helpful because there's none of these left. So when somebody has a question, it's down to like a handful of like five guys that you're like, don't lose them, because they are the only ones that know how this works anymore. So it's been a funny to join back in. But yeah, he's like, you got to join the group. I'm on it. I'm like, I'm already ahead of you. But yeah, it's the one other POW group guy in like the valley, and the other one's hidden somewhere like in a garage because the guy doesn't like to drive it. So like, that was funny. That was good.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. I mean, yeah. Congrats on that for sure.
Thanks, man.
Sorry, your first Cars and Coffee was immediately shown up by a second one, but I doubt that'll happen the second time. So
I don't even mind. I was just excited to see if what was broken on my car versus another one I had a point of reference.
You could compare them.
The glove box is wrong on mine. That's
All right. So Andre, unfortunately, I feel like maybe we should have done these stories in out of order because we're going to end on something of a sad note, I feel like, but you have updates. I mean,
depending on when we record next, this might give us an opportunity to keep the streak alive.
That's true. That's true.
So, I took some time to give the Lexus some much needed love and care, and I lined it. And so it doesn't rub anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It drove and it drives great, like better than it's ever driven before. And then I got hit in a parking lot and the car's wrecked. So that's cool.
And I mean, what's interesting is the damage, even though it was in a parking lot at low speed, very likely totaled the car.
Yeah, because like old car in a very not great place to get hit. It was like the rear quarter, which is expensive to repair.
So what happened? Like what happened exactly? Tell the story.
I was backing out of a spot and some dude in a big metal bumper didn't see me and just ran into me.
Yeah. Didn't you say he was like looking for someone on the curb or something? Because like you showed me the dash cam footage and it looks like he was going pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still dealing with insurance to see what they say. But I mean, whatever.
Right.
None of that matters. The point is if they total the car, then car.
Anyway, well, first of all, I'm sorry, man. Glad you're okay.
Very like, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
That car, I know. Well, I mean, I know it's just a car, is what you said, but I mean, it also meant a lot to you. That thing was minty. It was, you know, and it kind of sucks to have it end like that if it does end like that.
Yeah.
So
I guess I'm just more upset at the idea of having to, like, go through the process and spend the money to find something else.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
whatever. Car is a car. It's metal. It doesn't really matter that much. You know? So.
I mean, you like car shopping, though, so that's kind of...
I like car shopping. I don't like spending
Turbo
money.
Tahoe?
There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's that's just...
True. Well, you went and test drove... we can talk about that. You test drove a couple things today.
Oh, what?
I did. I went around... Because the idea is to get another something comfy, some kind of daily driver.
Yeah.
So I went and test drove a newer LS460.
Okay.
And then I think me and Dylan decided that I was probably the only person in history to cross shop an LS460 with a Tahoe.
Was it the twin turbo Tahoe you sent me?
No, it was not. It was not. That was a... That was
the 1200 horsepower monster.
Because yeah, I was like, it was way overpriced in my head a moment, but I'm like, yes. I'm like, I don't know why, where you're coming from
actually,
on this.
That's actually very reasonably priced. That thing is only, he's asking like $5,000 more than like what they go for normally.
Oh, shit.
For a built motor Denali with 1200 horsepower.
Yeah, like it was, that's pretty reasonably priced.
And that license plate was bomb. Sorry. What was the other thing you cross-referenced?
A Yukon, but essentially a
same thing.
Leather. Yeah. it's a Tahoe in a leisure suit.
You need a Tahoe in an Adidas tracksuit, my friend. That's what you need.
That's a Suburban.
I think that's an Escalade on a Sunday.
Escalade. That's a 2004 Escalade on some like big chrome wheels.
Yeah. Well, so the idea is I'm tired of like I just want to get a car that works, that I don't have to do anything to, and that has modern features and amenities. Like I don't want to restore a car before I can comfortably and reliably daily drive it.
Sure.
So like I figured if it's something newer, then there's a likelier chance of it being that, you know, just like jump in and go and not have to think about fixing this and that and making sure this doesn't break, you know.
What do you think of the big old SUV boy? What do you think of that?
I like it way more. I liked it way more than I thought I would. I was surprised at how easy it was to drive such a giant car.
So have you considered just buying it back and then having it fixed, like just leaving salvage title? Because like they're probably not gonna give you a lot for it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get anything for it, I'm sure. Anything worthwhile. But I don't like, where am I gonna fix it? Like,
right. Well, and also that's a bunch of downtime. That means you'll be down to just the 4Runner for probably a month plus.
Right. And like the quality of the repair is not going to be great no matter where it is. Like there's no way it's great.
Yo, send it back to to Lexus headquarters. You know how Ludacris restored his Acura Legend?
I mean, if it was my first car, sure. But, like, I don't care. Whatever. It's metal. You just throw it away. Add some more metal. That's fine.
So here's my suggestion. That suggestion, by the way, came from Drew, who is currently experiencing audio issues, but he asked that question.
Yeah.
Here's my recommendation. I discovered that you can buy a Collins adapter kit to adapt a 1UZ to a CD009 manual transmission from a 350Z. And it comes with all of the running gear, drive shaft, and everything to manual swap a Lexus LS400. Now, I think you can see where this is going. So we got coilovers. Weld the diff, cut off the mufflers.
Drift car.
End it.
And leave it because the quarter panel is already ruined. So, like, who cares if you smash it into a wall or two? Yeah.
You know, that's an idea. We'll put a pin in that one.
Put a Band-Aid sticker on the quarter panel.
You know,
I'll print one up for you tonight.
There was my first car. I ran into something and dented the bumper. And because I was in high school and, like, I didn't have any money to fix a bumper, I put a giant Band-Aid sticker on it, like a giant, like, foot-long Band-Aid sticker across the dent, and just sent it until I sold the car.
Nice.
That's great.
It's a good way to go about it.
Yeah.
I say, if this gets totaled and the insurance takes it away, do that before it goes.
Put a Band-Aid sticker on it?
Yeah, and just a little bit. Or no, an actual Band-Aid.
Just an actual band. Yeah, don't go buy. Yeah. I mean, I'll make one out of vinyl for you, but, like, just get an
industrial roll of gauze and wrap it around the entire quarter panel. Just really, really take that too far. So I know you're looking for more modern things, but I suggested this. I'm sure Nick floated this by you, and then Drew also said this in our chat. Why not just get a Corvette?
Because I don't want to daily the 4Runner, because it's uncomfortable as all hell. Like, driving in that thing for any amount of time gives me a backache.
The Corvette?
Legitimate back pains. No, the 4Runner.
Oh.
Yeah, well.
And, like, if I have to daily that, like, that sucks.
Get a new seat. That seat's broken. That's the one out of Nick's car. Right.
Yeah. Well,
it was the two good pieces. So it's better than the last, but
it's not that the seat's bad. The seat's fine. It's just that the seat's not broken or torn down. It's just that it's a shitty seat. Like, those Drew cars wants to, have shitty seats.
Drew wants to point out, I don't know why I've become the voice for Drew here, but Drew wants to point out that you could probably offset those back problems by wearing New Balance shoes. So.
And
so it'll zero each other out.
And a Corvette in stock seat formation is super comfy.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm also not dealing
for the same Corvette money. No, but the LS430 you went and test drove, you told me, was like 35,000, and a Grand Sport, a C6 Grand Sport, is also like 35,000. So it's the same money.
Yeah.
So, like, spend a little bit to get some, like, nicer seats in the 4Runner, like some aftermarket, like the Corbos that Nick has.
I was gonna say, if you ride in mine, it's super comfortable, and I've got seat warmers.
Because Nick's old seat was collapsed. But, it's, like, bent.
But also, the 4Runner is fucking filthy. Like, fucking filthy. Yep. And you're going to be like, well, just clean it. Well, okay, but then when I go off-roading,
just clean it.
It gets filthy again. Because that car doesn't
WeatherTech have floor mats.
No, I'm talking, like, everything you touch, everything you sit in, you're just being in the car is dusty and dirty. Like, the presence of the car is, because it doesn't have a cabin filter, so everything just is in the car. Everything you drive through is inside. No, the car doesn't have one.
No, they straight up just don't have them.
Yeah, like, they just,
that was Wrangler Sahara edition.
Yeah, essentially.
That's why everything gets so dirty on the inside.
So, like, if I have to go,
I'll give you credit on that. Yeah,
like, if I have to go anywhere on a weekend where I'm like, even remotely, like I have a white shirt on right now. If I got out of the Forerunner, it would be half brown, you know, from being in it. So like,
so just, that's when you use the vet.
If I'm going like, what if I'm going like on a driving somewhere, like a road trip that I don't want to like it,
Corvette.
I don't know.
Corvette.
Yeah. No, but that's the answer.
Corvette.
Why not? That's what they're designed for. They're Grand Tour. It's a Grand Sport. Grand Tourer.
Grand Touring.
Well, no, that would be a GT, not a GS.
No, but the point is, like, that trim was supposed to be the, like, more aggressive looking, but more street compliant version. It's not the race version. That's literally why they sold the Grand Sport.
I don't know. I just...
Corvette.
And for Drew, Corvette, he's in. You can't see him, but he's in.
He's fist pumping harder than I've seen.
But no, it's what it goes to get into play on, and I think where that aligns in is we understand the Lexus was the comfy car. The BMW lived a brief moment to be the fun car before it blew up and you got rid of it. So,
but the thing is like I made it without between the BMW really didn't like I drove it like three times in a fun manner. The rest of the time was just like driving it down the street to make sure it didn't blow up.
Yeah, but
so like all the other time around that, I made it just fine without a fun car. I don't know.
But what I'm kind of going at is, you can be comfortable and have like that fun to an extent. Like, you don't have to put straight pipes on your Corvette like Dylan. If you have actual like more mufflers, then it's not super atrocious or super crazy. It's not overly aggressive because that's not the demographic they're for. As they go ahead and previously looked at it, like so.
But that's the point. Like, if I'm gonna have a Corvette, I want it to rumble my windows out of my house.
But you can do that later. Like, it doesn't have to be right away. Like, you can then later get like a daily driver, you know, Civic or whatever, that's cleaner than the 4Runner, but you know, you can go rowdy on the vet. But this puts you in a vet now, so you have the beater daily driver and you have the Corvette. I'm just saying, that's my two cents.
I don't know.
Just send it, my dude.
I don't know. I feel like
Evo again? Evo 8?
Yeah, no, definitely not. That's a worse decision than air cooled Porsche.
If you could see Drew right now, he would be very disappointed with you.
Is he flipping me off?
No. I think to me, given the circumstances, because it sucks to lose the Lexus, and I understand what lineup. You know what your lineup was going for, but I think given the circumstances, this is probably the best option.
I don't know.
I just, anyway, just think about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got time until insurance decides what they want to do. We'll see.
No,
I gotta wait to see what they even say.
Can you see Drew again?
No.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he left and came back. But...
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, I mean, this episode has been an emotional roller coaster.
What about the updates from you, my man?
I have nothing. I actually literally have nothing to contribute this episode of any substance. I've done nothing with my cars.
Tire pressure sensors in your wheels.
That is not worth mentioning. So
that's nothing.
Yeah,
I tried.
But we had so much content, and I guess we'll leave it on this. The mystery of what an NSX or a Supra is may never be answered, but at least we now know what a Nissan POW is, and I don't know, RIP to the LS400.
Yep.
Pour some out.
Pour one out.
All right, well, with that's another episode in the books. Thanks for listening. We're hopefully gonna have another update here soon, because we got to have that drag race. Yes. and then find out what happens to the Lexus. So keep your ears out, your earballs out for another episode of the Supercar Cast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Or I don't know. I mean, compared to like a Supra, would you rather have a Supra or an RX-7?
Supra.
What the fuck? Well, who would want an RX-7 over a Supra?